Tough times don't last. Tough people do. Gregory Peck.
And man, I've been living in agony with it. And I was like, just cut the thing off, man, because it hurts. But man, when they tell you that they're going to cut it off, it's like you lost your best friend.
Yeah, I was going to say that had to be a pretty tough decision.
Yes, it was. But I went ahead and I went along with it. I got my brother. My brother dropped me off and he was going to like, it was the morning of my operation. And he's like, do you want me to pull you by the door? I said, no, I want you to park as far as you can and video me, man, because this is going to be the last time I walk to there.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the Trail Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute to help us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right, let's get to this week's guest, a man with an inspirational story and some serious dirtbag goals. Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Phil Tucker. How's it going, Phil?
Hey, it's going good, old buddy. I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. So as we are talking tonight, what state are you in?
I'm in South Mississippi.
South Mississippi. Any effects, any weather from Hurricane Ian, any kind of rain or wind?
Yeah, a lot of good wind, old buddy.
Okay. Now, have you ever done a podcast before, Phil?
No, this will be my first one. This ought to be interesting.
Okay, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm excited.
I am too.
All right. Now, have you spent a lot of time on the trail?
No, not really. What different trails I have. I grew up in the swamps of Mississippi, and then I moved to Montana. And I spent some trails, you know, certain. I never through hike, but I did different trails at different state parks. But okay. I mainly went off the beaten path and hiked in the wilderness.
Okay. Now, during your time on the trail, have you been given a trail name?
Yeah, well, I got my trail name when I moved to Montana because I grew up in the swamps and they kind of associated me with swamp people. So I got the name Swamper.
And Swamper. It
kind of Swamper.
Okay.
And I just go by that.
All right. So for tonight's episode, should we refer to you as Swamper then?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
You all right with that? Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
All right. Now, Swamper, have you listened to the podcast before?
Yes, I have.
And do you have any favorite episodes out there?
Well, I like Kate Clouds, and I think his name's Nocturnal.
Nocturnal, yes, yep.
Yeah, I like his. I watched about 4 or 5.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Now, Kate Cloud, she's been pretty inspirational, huh?
Oh, yeah. I lost my leg back in 2019, and I was at a pretty bad place in my life. I was stuck in a wheelchair, and I was watching YouTube videos of places I've been, and I come across her doing the PCT, and I kept watching her, man, and she inspired me. And one day I said, I'm going to do what she's doing.
Okay.
And I said, what do I got to do to get out of this wheelchair and make this happen? And, well, first thing I had to do, I had to start walking.
Uh-huh.
So I got to where I'd walk from one end to the house to the other, holding on. And then I'd go outside and walk to the mailbox. And then I started walking a quarter of a mile, then a half a mile. And then I started walking in the swamps again.
Uh-huh.
In the woods. And it's been a pretty amazing journey that I've lived.
Okay. You know, let's put a pin in that right now. Let's come back to that, because before we get to your story and talk about what you've been through and the road to recovery and what your goals are, let's get to some of our early segments. You've listened to the podcast before, so you know about the pro tip inside of the week. And that's where I will, towards the end of the episode, I'll turn to you and ask you to share some outdoor adventure wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better.
Okay.
Okay. And right now,
the must bring gear review.
It's time for the must bring gear review, sponsored by the Ultralight Backpacking Gear Company, Six Moon Designs. I'm sure you know how this works, but let me explain it to our listeners. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Swamper, now what is that must-bring piece of gear out there for you?
A shower curtain.
A shower curtain?
Mm-hmm. I figured out, man, that if I get in a bind and I don't want to pitch a tent, I can just cover myself, man, with that shower curtain and roll up like a burrito and stay dry at a moment's notice. It sounds crazy, but that shower curtain, man, is a must for me out in the wilderness.
All right. I have to tell you, Phil, that is a first. That is some real swamp wisdom right there. The shower curtain. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, it's time for
okay.
It's the hiking poll.
Okay, the hiking poll, and poll is spelled P-O-L-L. This is a 7-question survey. It's going to help me determine your level of sanity. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Now, if I were to ask your friends or family, you know, how sane is Swamper? What kind of score would they give you on a scale from 1 to 100, where 100 is completely sane and 1 is completely insane?
Probably about a 70.
70. You're pretty level headed then, right?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna ask you 7 questions that are related to hiking. We'll see which side of the issue you fall on, and then I'll give you a score between 1 and 100, and we'll see if I agree with your friends and family.
All right.
All right. First question, pretty easy. Trekking poles or no trekking poles out there?
Trekking poles.
And why is that?
Well, tracking poles gives me bounce, and it keeps me from busting my butt. You know, I am hiking with one leg, a prosthetic, and a tracking poles is a lot cooler looking than a walking cane. So I like tracking poles more than one reason, you know.
Okay. Second question: boots or trail runners? What do you wear?
Trail runners.
And do you have a favorite brand of trail runners?
Well, I just got me a pair of Salomons, man, and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to stick with.
Yeah, Salomons, they're pretty highly regarded out there.
Yeah.
It's a good shoe.
Good shoe.
All right. Question number 3. When it comes to your shelter, I'm gonna take the shower curtain out of this first for the time being. When it comes to your shelter, you prefer a tent, tarp, hammock, bivy, or cowboy camping?
I prefer cowboy camping, but also I'm going to have a tent with me.
And what is the deciding factor on whether or not you use the tent or you just cowboy camp?
The weather.
Okay. So it's not the bugs. It's the weather. You don't mind the bugs?
No, man. I'm in South Mississippi. I was raised around bugs.
we're gonna talk a little bit about growing up in the swamp. I want to hear what that's like, because I, as you said, you grew up in Southern Mississippi. You don't mind the bugs, so I want to pick your brain about what it was like growing up. But before we get there, next question: sleeping bag or quilt?
A sleeping bag. A sleeping bag.
Okay. And when it comes to food, are you a stove guy, cold soak, or stoveless?
Cold soak.
Really? A cold soaker?
Yeah. Now, I build a fire. I got a little pot, and I build a fire, but I don't carry a butane or propane or nothing like that with me. I build a fire, but beforehand, you know, if it's hot, I cold soak.
Okay. Now take me through the fire building process. What is your process for building the fire?
My process for building a fire, I get me some good kindling and I go ahead and have my wood prepared. Mm-hmm. I make sure it's dry. And what I like, we got down here what we call lighter pine.
Okay.
And it's flammable. And what I do, I get splinters off of it, and I have it with me in case it's damp. That stuff lights up real good.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I get my firewood and all, and I build a fire.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Question number 6. I think I know how you're going to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is life better above or below the tree line?
Above, man. I love the mountains.
Really? I did not expect that answer from you, Swamper, since you're in Mississippi. They don't have very many tall mountains in Mississippi, do they?
I have none. But I lived up north, man, for 5 years, so I know what it's like to be on the top of a mountain. Pretty freaking good.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like that view, right?
Right. Okay. I love it, man.
Now, when you are out on the trail, is it more important to consider your pack weight or to pack some luxury items for comfort?
No, pack weight, man, because I am hiking with one leg. Weight is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tough, man. I call myself tough. You know, I can deal without the luxury as much as the weight.
Okay. So, how much does your pack weigh when you're out on a big hike?
Right now, man, my pack, it weighs about 35 pounds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's in the pack that makes it weigh 35 pounds? What are you carrying?
Well, I'm carrying my tent, my sleeping bag, and I got my sandals in there. I got a lighter, I got just your basics.
Mm-hmm.
I got a sleeping bag and my fleece in there.
Okay.
Then I got my K-bar, and I got my first aid kit, and some fishing line. My tackle box is also my sewing kit.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. and a couple change in the clothes. That's about it, man.
That's about it. Hey, Swamper, I have to tell you that, you know, when you said that you care about weight, the pack weight, because you only have one leg, I was expecting to hear, you know, 15 pounds, maybe 20 pounds. I was not expecting to hear 35 pounds. That's heavier than I thought.
Well, it's pretty heavy, I guess. But I made my old gear my bug out bag. It's straight military surplus.
Okay.
And it weighed like 60.
So I guess by comparison, this is the lightweight bag then.
And yeah, it is. My other one's prepared for all hell to break loose.
All right. Hey, let me do some quick addition here. Let me put your answers through the secret formula. I got to carry the 2. I'm going to divide by root 3. Going to multiply that by pi. And we'll adjust for the wind chill at the top of one of those mountains in Montana. And I come up with a solid 68. So not too far off from what your family and friends would say.
Hey, man, that sounds good to me, old bud.
All right. Hey, before we get too far down the trail here, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about growing up in a swamp. Let's hear about your childhood, growing up, what kinds of sports and hobbies you were involved in as a kid, and how did you get involved in the whole hiking gear deal or the hiking deal?
Well, I grew up, man, in a good home in the backwoods of Mississippi. My backyard was the swamps, you know, gators and snakes. It was my playground. And I loved nature. And nature, we live in a perfect world. It's people that messes it up. Mother Nature, man, nature is a working miracle. And when you're out in it, man, you see the world as it's supposed to be. And I just love it. I love the woods. You get me in the woods, man, I'm like Rambo, son. But I'm good in the woods. I've caught critters. I mean, I know the swamp can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. You got gators and you got cottonmouth moccasins that you can't see until it's too late. And just being a country boy like I am, it become natural to me. Just like somebody that lives in the city, man, going down the street, man, be normal then. But
did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got a brother that's 2 years younger than me. A good guy.
Okay. And did your parents just let you play out there in the backyard in the swamp?
Yeah. They let me play, man. I guess they figured, man, I'd be safer there and on the street getting kidnapped by a hoodlum.
And but any gator or water moccasin encounters as a kid?
Yeah. I used to catch frogs and kill snakes and skin them to sell them to the rich kids at my school.
Uh-huh.
And I'd go out there with my headlight duct taped to my gun barrel. And there he was, man, big old cottonmouth. I don't know if you know much about him, but this thing was 54 inches long.
Ooh.
And I was already skinning them and everything, and I just had this bright idea, man. Well, I'm going to be a taxidermist. I wasn't like 12. And I shot that thing, my 22, man, and he bellied up. And I went to get him, and my plans was I didn't know what I was doing. I was going to get me a razor blade and cut around his lips and cut his head and then strip him like that right there.
Uh-huh.
Well, man, when I shot, I didn't hit him. I hit beside him and just knocked him out.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there and I got him on my skinning table, man. And when I went to put that razor blade to his lip, man, he come alive. When that son gun come alive, dude, he hit me on my hand and I just reacted. I cut his head off, man. And I went inside, my hand was bleeding, everything. And all I knew, man, if you get bit by a snake, you only got 30 minutes. Well, hell, if you live a higher than 20 minutes from the hospital, man, you pretty screwed. Well, I go in there, man, I'm trying to stay calm. I'm like, Mom, I just got snake bitten. Oh, my God, she went hysterical, man. Well, the first thing we do is get that snake, man, put him in a 5-gallon bucket. And off to the hospital we head. And we get up in there, and there's this little old lady, man, a receptionist doing her nails and stuff, man. And her mom comes in there. She's just hysterical holding this bucket. And she's like, my son just been snake bitten. She's like, man, we're going to have to fill out some paperwork. You know what? She said, I don't know, man. And she grabbed that snake son and just slung it like water was in that bucket. And that snake, man, was doing all this. And I got me some help.
I bet.
Yeah, that was the first time I've been snake bit, man. I've been snake bit five times. I don't even count the non-poisonous. But yeah, and I had me a gator encounter. It was a pretty good one. I helped catch and relocate alligators.
Okay.
And when I was young, you ever drank any moonshine?
I've had a taste a couple times, yeah.
Well, man, the stuff that I make, you can crank a car with it, son, I'm telling you. Well, anyway, this is what I'm telling you what not to do, you know?
Okay.
On that moonshine, man, me and my buddies, man, I decided I wanted me a pet gator. I done had two, but I wanted one about 5 foot. Didn't want a humongous one. I was on that moonshine. And I knew an old dead lake, a gator hole, that they was a few small. Well, man, I'm tanked up pretty good, and I got my buddy, man, and there's a log sticking out, and I got some chicken parts. And I'm on the end of this log out in the water, man, throwing chicken down in there. And there it comes. Well, I couldn't tell, man, how big that joke was, man, until I dove on. When I dove on, I knew I'd done messed up, man. But when I grabbed on to him, he started doing like that. The way he ended up and the way I ended up, man, I could kick off of him with my leg. And, man, I made it to the bank, man, and I realized right then I'd messed up.
Now, Swamper, hang on a second, Swamper. Let me get this straight. So you went to this lake, you went to this gator hole. You knew there's some gators there. You're looking for one that was about 5 foot?
Yeah.
And you had some chicken parts with you. You threw the chicken parts in there, and you saw something, and you thought, okay, that's the one. But it was, I take it was much bigger than you expected.
Yeah, he was about 9-10 foot. He was longer than I was.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, man. So when you drink, you know, if you're going to do something like that, man, wait till you sober up. Because that moonshine, man, will make you know. And I'm country, but I'm not that country. But, man, I put my mama through it, man, when I was a kid.
Yeah, she was always on edge waiting for the next misadventure.
Yeah, but, you know, it was till I got older that she really started running. As long as I was in the swamp, she knew pretty much that I could pull through. No matter how crazy it was, I could pull through whatever I encountered. And I have, man. I broke my neck, and that Bocahoma Creek is what runs behind my old house. And that's a creek I grew up on. And, man, I've been baptized in that creek. I broke my neck in that creek. That old creek, man, it's like my church.
Now, how did you break your neck in Bocahoma Creek?
Don't think bad of me, man, but I was talked into going skinny dipping. And I dove off this bluff, man. I'm talking about millions of times. And there's two roots that comes out on the edge. And I was running through there, man. I was going to dive off in. I knew I messed up. When my fingertips hit that root, I knew I done messed up, buddy. I head-butted that root, man, from about 10 foot off from the water. Here I am, naked, man, you know. And I come to, I remember the moon. And I'm up under the water, and I see the moon, man, and I'm floating up. And I'm like, help, help. I'm in a bind. And they thought I was just fooling around. But come to find out I wasn't. And they had to take me downstream to the boat ramp. And I couldn't feel my legs. But something about the angle of that boat ramp, it was a 45. I had my buddy on this side, two chicks on this side, man. And I don't know what it was about that 45. But I started feeling the end of my toes. And by the time that I got to the top of the boat ramp, man, I can walk. You know, call it fate, call it the angle. I don't know, man. But I tell you what, I went to the doctor, the emergency room. They did x-ray and come to find out, man, I fractured my neck. So that kind of dinged me out of being in the Army. I was wanting to be just, you know, but yeah, I broke my neck, and I was in the neck brace, man, for a year.
Holy cow! Now, when you broke your neck and you came to, and you're kind of floating up, and you saw the moon, are you sure that was the moon and not another skinny dipper?
No, man, because they were scared of snakes, man. I was trying to convince them, don't be scared of snakes. I scare them off. I ran ahead of them, and that was stupid. I was drinking.
There was nothing. You're convincing them there was nothing to be afraid of, and you showed them by breaking your neck.
Yeah, you know, if I was trying to scare the snakes away, you know, or they would get in the water with me. You know, I could kind of lead the way. I ain't never been much of a follower, old buddy. But I really felt bad, man, because they carried me off this boat ramp, and I'm naked to the day I was born. You know? And I was messed up, man. I went in the emergency room wearing nothing but a towel. But, yeah. And I'm telling you, man, that moon's trying to get you, man. That's been my downfall. I don't even drink no more. But used to. I made me some shine and didn't go do some crazy shit. But
Now, Swamper, was moonshine involved in that story as well, the skinny dipping story? There was some moonshine there?
Yep. That's how they got me to go.
You know, the title of this episode, the top contestant for the title of the episode is The Dangers of Moonshine at this point.
Yeah, man. But you want to know what? They go and make movies about this stuff, man, like moonshine, swamp people, duck dynasty. And it just makes people like me, man, you know, well, hell, man, you know, we done got the attention of Hollywood.
I think you should pitch a show to Hollywood, and we call it Skinny Dipping in the Swamp.
Yeah, I guess so, man, but I don't look like I did 20 years ago. I wouldn't look good.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit, if you're willing. You know, I know that from our correspondence, you talked about, you know, straying from your roots and maybe taking the wrong path. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Okay.
As I got older, you can't tell it now, but I become a competitive bodybuilder and an MMA fighter. And that was my ambition. But somewhere along the way, man, I got involved in gangs and violence. I was a shot caller in the most notorious white gang in America. I'm not going to say the name, but I was pretty much bad news. And I was staying in the cities on the streets doing bad things for a long time and forgot about my roots. And my old grandpa told me, he said, "Boy, you're making us look bad." And I said, "Pop, I don't care." And he said, "You should, son, because you carry my last name." And, you know, it took a long time, man, for that to stick. But I was sitting there contributing to what's already making this world a bad place, man. And it stuck to me. It come back to me what my grandpa said. My name is my legacy. It's what I'm going to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
And nature's perfect. Nature is the way it's supposed to be on this world. We have free will. We got a choice. We can make a choice to be anybody, do anything we want to. I moved to Montana. And when I moved to Montana, man, I really got into the mountains and really got into nature. Nature started talking to me. And I got into gold panning. And that's what I...
Before we get to gold panning, Swamper, did you move to Montana as a conscious decision to remove yourself from that kind of lifestyle? Was that the solution you came up with?
Yes, it is. Because Montana is one of them places, man, that that the rich folks from the neighborhood got to go see. But why not live there? I'm an iron worker by trade. And everything just fell in my lap, man. And I got to see some stuff, and I got to climb a mountain. And, you know, all my old gear was camouflaged, man, because I didn't want anybody to see me, man, where I was, in case I found that honey hole, you know. So I pretty much, man, just looked like a commando going through there, man, with my OD green backpack, man, with my camo on. And then some of the nicest people, oh my God, man, is hikers. And when I was out in the wilderness, I wasn't really around no hikers, man, because I was off the beaten path. But like Theodore Roosevelt State Park, Glacier, Rocky Mountain, that's when I'd be around the hikers. And I thought to myself, man, you know, here I am with my military surplus, man, and they all colorful, man. And I could always see them, man, because to me they look like M&Ms. You know? But now I understand. You know, my gear now is colorful. That way if something happens, I can be spotted by a helicopter. You know? So I really don't make fun I never did. But, man, some of the people, and you ain't got to be no hardcore Grizzly Adams be out there, man, hiking. Man, you can be all walks of life, man. Because I seen old people, man. I seen little children, man. You know, we all get something different out of it, you know. And to be honest with you, to me, it's easier than hiking in the swamps.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it, me being country is cornbread, man, you know, I mean, I get out there and it's easy on me. And then being different, when I come across people, man, they hear me talk first thing they say, man. Hey, you ain't from around here, are you? Nope.
But now, you said you were panning for gold in Montana?
Yeah.
And did you find anything? Did you find that honey hole?
For silver, I did. I found 14 ounces of silver.
Okay.
I didn't much on my gold, though. I didn't much get past, man. I didn't get no nuggets. I got little grains, you know. But, yeah, I found that honey hole. I tell you what, I got me a big old rock, man, and pushed that rock off and landed on top of it where nobody else could find it, man. But that's in Wyoming. So I can go back, man, when I'm down on my luck, man.
That's your backup plan. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what happened in Michigan and how you've come back from that situation. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young.
Welcome back, and we're talking to Phil Tucker, a.k.a. Swamper, and talking about growing up in the swamp and some of the adventures that arose out of that situation, and his time, a little bit of time in Montana and Wyoming. I also understand, Phil, that you spent some time in Washington, the state of Washington.
Yeah, I stayed in Washington for about a year in a little place called Kettle Falls, off the Columbia River. And that was pretty interesting. That become my most favorite river. It fishing and all the eagles, man, that just roost there. And watching them with your own eyes sweep down, man, and catch fish. And I met some interesting people, man. You know, they legalized. I'm not a weed smoker, man. But I ran across, man, a bunch of people, man, that like to sit on the riverbank and smoke weed, man. And I don't know. I enjoy talking to them, man, because I don't smoke weed or nothing, man. But we're kind of on the same channel. You know, I just I could relate to them, and I think they could relate to me, man. I don't know, man, but
you guys hit it off.
Yeah, we hit it off, man, you know, because I used to smoke weed back in the day, but I don't know more. I done straightened up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. It just, I guess being legal takes the fun out of it, man. You know? Because they ain't legalized down here, which I don't smoke in any. Back when I smoked it, man, it made me want to go do something, man. Now, man, it makes me, man, want to watch TV, man, and eat popcorn. That ain't good.
Swamper, you've got an edge to you. You know, you like to walk that fine line right on the edge of what's right and what's wrong. And so they made that legal, and you said, I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah, I ain't no altar boy, but I strive to be a good man, you know. And like I said, it's tough. I'm not perfect, but if somebody, man, has been through it, man, I can probably relate in some shape, form, or fashion. But you live and learn. You get scars and tattoos and everything. But yeah, that was my the Columbia River, camping and hiking every chance I got. I actually found a little bit of gold particles, man, off the Columbia River. But that's about the extent of that.
Yeah, always on the lookout for some gold, gold or silver, huh? You bring your pan with you?
Yeah. Huh?
You bring your pan with you?
Yeah, man. My pan is part of my old hiking gear, man. You know, looking for that nugget.
No wonder it's 35 pounds.
Yeah, well, you know, my pan's made out of plastic. I ain't got one of them old-timey ones, so it don't really weigh much. About the size, it weighs about as much as a two-liter Coke bottle. But, yeah, I started watching Gold Rush, and then I'm like, man, I want to do that. I want to be like them old prospectors back in the old days, you know, and do it like them.
Swamper, I was just going to say, you seem like a man from a different age. I was going to ask if you had the chance, if someone gave you the choice between two things, going 100 years in the future or 100 years in the past, which one would you pick?
Man, the past.
I knew for certain you were going to say that.
Future is going nuts, man. I don't want to be no part of it. You know, I like being simple, man. I like how grandma and grandpa thought. You know, I like what they stood for.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing from the past, man. I can't be programmed by what society says right and wrong, man, because I don't jee-haw with it. What I think's right kind of goes, well, I ain't no choir boy, man, but we got a manual. It's called the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very simple. If you want to see a miracle, go out there in nature and watch the 5D work in the 3D, man. See what nature tells you, because that's what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't nobody mess with that. Man cannot. Mother Nature's going to have the last word.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. You're not wrong. And what brought you to Michigan? How'd you end up in Michigan?
Well, work. My company that I was with went bankrupt. So the CEO of my company asked me would I like to move there. And I've always wanted to see the Great Lakes. And I went, work was kind of scarce. But I ended up, man, just doing odd jobs. You know, I still living off of what I made working in the oil field. But the Pekoskee River, it was snowing. And I fell off the banks. You know, I couldn't tell really how the bank went for all the snow, and it collapsed on me. And when it collapsed, man, it swooped me down for about half a mile before I could climb out of it. But that's what I was doing. I was working and playing on the rivers and the Great Lakes. And when the leaves turn colors, oh my God, it's like a paint, man. I love Michigan. Until I fell in that damn river.
And so what was the impact of falling in the river? Is that what led to your leg?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, when I rushed down, it was cold. It was probably like 20 degrees. And instead of going to the hospital, I knew that I was freezing. But I thought, man, when I got back to my house, I thought I could get me a warm shower, man, and eat me some chicken noodle soup, man, and be good. But the damage was done, and then I was steadily working because I had to work. And this happened on a Saturday, and I had Sunday off, And little did I know, man, that my foot was rotting. I knew it hurt. But, man, I don't really look at the bottom of my feet real, you know. I clean them and all. But it was bad. You could see the bone. And I stayed in the hospital for a couple months, man. I got out, and all it was doing, it was still bad on the inside, but it grew over, the skin grew over, and I didn't realize how bad it was. And I knew I needed to come back down south where it was warm to try to save my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I come back to Mississippi.
And then what ended up happening with your foot?
Well, I fought it, man. I fought it for like right at 2 years. And it get to a certain stage. And then it get bad. And then I go to the doctor and get it back to a certain stage. And they told me one day, man, they said that I had infection in my bone. And, man, I've been living in agony with it. And I was like, just cut the thing off, man, because it hurts. But, man, when they tell you that they're going to cut it off, it's like you lost your best friend.
Yeah, I was going to say that had to be a pretty tough decision.
Yes, it was. But I went ahead and I went along with it. I got my brother, man. My brother dropped me off and he was going to like, it was the morning of my operation. And he's like, oh, do you want me to pull you by the door? I said, no, I want you to park as far as you can and video me, man, because this is going to be the last time I walk with two legs. It was pretty emotional. And they did the surgery, and they I come back out of it, man. Didn't give me nothing for pain. And it was like they was hacking it off all over again, man. And it was just terrible. They didn't want to give me no pain. I guess I looked like a hoodoo, man, you know. They didn't want to give me no pain until I got out, man. So I was just turned back that moonshine. And, rolling around in a wheelchair, man, with one leg.
Now, how long ago was the operation, Swamper?
It was a little over a year.
Wow. So just a year ago.
Yeah, but I ended up getting cellulitis in my nub, in the kneecap. So I near about lost more of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was in a pretty bad spot, old buddy. You know, I was at that fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go from here? Do I give up and it wasn't really doing me no good, you know, getting on YouTube at first, looking at places that I've been, because I've covered some area. But it was just like, okay, here you are in this wheelchair, man, and this is what you used to do, and this is who you used to be. And it was a bad spot, old buddy.
And is that when you found Kate Cloud?
Well, I was watching Into the Wild. And it was on that scene, man, about Slab City. And I was going on YouTube, man, just to check it out, what Slab City was really about. And guess who I came across?
Who's that?
I came across K Cloud, man. And I don't know what it is, but I started following her, and then I started subscribing. And I'm like, all right. It was her PCT 86, day 86. And she's walking through there, man, you know, just all sweet, like kind of in between Laura Ingalls and Swiss Miss. I mean,
uh-huh. Now, Phil, if you had the chance to talk to her, do you have some questions that you'd want to ask her?
I don't know. I mean, I cross that bridge when I get there.
All right. You know what? Let's get there right now. All right. Because I've invited a special guest to the podcast right now as we're recording. And joining us at this moment, she's logging on right now. Can you see her there? Okay. We now have Kate Cloud on the episode with us. Kate, thank you very much for joining us. I've got Phil Tucker on the air with us. And his trail name is Swamper. He's grown up in Mississippi. He had an unfortunate accident in Michigan where he had some a spill and some cold weather and some cold water led to problems with his leg, and he actually had to have his leg amputated. And he says that it was you that was the inspiration for him. He came across your YouTube channel, and it was you that kind of inspired him to get back after it and set some goals and get back out into the outdoors. So, Kate Cloud, thank you very much for joining us. Go ahead. I've done too much talking already. Go ahead, Kate.
No, that's freaking awesome. I mean, there couldn't be a bigger compliment. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked to Phil a few times. He's messaged me a few times, and hi there. And I think it's inspirational what he's been doing in himself. So I think all said and done, he's actually going to inspire a lot of people himself. Takes a lot of courage to keep on and not giving up after something so, you know, traumatic. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
I think my sound is a little delayed here.
That's okay. You're doing fine. And before you came on, I asked Phil, I said, you know, if you had the chance to talk to Kate Cloud, what questions might you have for her? And he said, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And I said, well, let's go ahead and cross that bridge right now.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I mean, she is a big inspiration to me. And I started following her on Instagram. And when I started, I didn't have no pictures. I was just on there. But a buddy of mine said, why don't you just post some pictures and your story a little bit? Well, I did that. And I really didn't get too much response from the hiking part of it, but the people that's lost limbs and stuff reached out to me. And what really made it worth my while, I hadn't seen everybody that follows me. I don't have as many as Kate, but this woman messaged me and said she's got a 9-year-old little girl that's going through what I went through. And her being a mama, she monitors her internet activity.
Mm-hmm.
And her mama said, man, that I inspired that little kid. And you know, that right there showed me, man, that I can serve a purpose greater than myself. You know? And I pray about it. And I'm gonna do the PCT, man. I went from a wheelchair and I'd watch Kate, man, and I'd be like, I'm just go for a walk, and I'd watch one of her. I had me a dang Kate Cloud marathon, man, for a whole solid weekend, man. I'm telling you. And I'm like, man, my buddies, man, they think, God, man, what lit the spark under you? So it's very important. You can touch others the way I've been touched, man. Man, when I wheeled up, we got one store in my small town, and everybody looking at me, man, thinking I'm going to commit suicide and all kinds of crazy. Man, I wheeled my wheelchair up in there, and it was around lunchtime, you know, when everybody was just sitting there. And I said, I want y'all to look at me, because next time I come up in here, I'm going to walk, man. This is where I'm at. And you know what? When I went in there between watching Kate Cloud, man, and that promise I made to the citizens of my own town, son, I walked up in that son of a gun. You know, this is what I'm doing. And now I can do anything. I'm not handicapped. I mean, I'm not even in a wheelchair, man. I can walk 5 miles right now. And I'm going to do great things. I'm going to hike the PCT. I'm going to be the first one with a prosthetic to do it. You know,
Swamper, I don't want to speak for Kate, but as you're telling that story right there, I just got chills. I just got chills listening to that.
Yeah.
And the funny part is, I know there's a lot of different kinds of marathons out there, but the Kate Cloud Marathon has got to be one of the best ones.
Man, it was good. Man, I can never but tell you everything that you've laid out. I mean, I pretty much know it. And I'm going to watch it again. When I'm out there, I'm going to have two battery packs. One to start my YouTube channel. The other one to watch you, because that's good stuff. That's real stuff.
Now, Feather, you heard him say that he's intent on doing the PCT. He's going to do it. What advice would you have for him?
It's mind over matter. You know, I feel like when your body feels like it doesn't have anything left, it's all about your mental power at that point. And if your mental power is down, you got to let your body take up the slack. So it's a give and take, but you got to reach for what's strongest at the time and find that balance, you know, and it's just how bad you want it. I mean, I think anything is possible if you want it that bad. And there's millions of stories of people overcoming such huge obstacles. I mean, I never talked about it, but maybe a handful of times, but I mean, I'm not considering myself disabled by any means, but I have no clavicle on the left side. Every time I've carried a pack across every single one of these hikes, I only could use my right shoulder and my hips. Like, my left shoulder did nothing. I mean, if there's a will, there's a way. It's how bad you want it. And it is. It's a mental game, and I have no doubt he'll be able to do it. It'll be awesome, because I unintentionally inspire people and he'll unintentionally inspire people. And that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, that's what mankind is supposed to do for each other, is to lift each other up and to keep each other going. And, you know, that's part of it. That's the way it's supposed to be. And it doesn't matter if you get anything back or if you ever find out, but when you do like this, it's pretty epic. It's pretty special.
It is.
I think I cut out.
No, we got all of that. That was great, Kate. Thank you.
Good stuff.
All right. Do you have any other questions or comments for Kate, Swamper?
Thank you.
Oh, darling, you're so welcome. Thank you. I mean, it goes both ways. It really does. I mean, when I started my YouTube, it was for my daughter solely. I had no idea I would affect anybody. And I know without a doubt in my heart that you're going to do the same thing for others. Like, if you're just who you are and you have that drive, and I knew how lucky I was to be able to doing what I was doing, and I wanted to show my daughter was all. And then I started getting messages from people not far off from yourself. And I had no idea I was going to affect people like that. And it makes you feel so, I don't even know what the word is, but I mean.
Oh, we just lost her, Phil. She cut out. I think her signal was a bit spotty. I think she's coming back here. Hang on. You still there? Oh, we lost you. We lost you for a second, Kate, but you're back.
Yeah, I saw that. I stalled. No, just saying that I consider myself an empath, and I feel like sometimes there is a shortage in the world of people who are going to help some stranger that they don't know or this and that. But then you come across these people that, you know, don't even realize they're helping others. And sometimes they don't need to know. And I think that's the beauty of it. And, you know, it's going to happen. If you're passionate in anything you do, just, this is kind of off topic, but my daughter is in college right now and she kept changing her major. Anyway, to pick up where I left off, I told my daughter, I'm like, don't do something you're not passionate about, because everybody will know and you won't strive at it and you'll hate getting up every morning. If you do something you're passionate about, whether it's the money maker or not, you're going to make the money because you're good at it and you'll stand out and you'll strive. So just do what you're passionate about. Do what you love waking up in the morning and everybody will fucking notice. Excuse my language, but it's true. And that's what's going to make people follow you and pay you more and appreciate what you do because it's what's in your heart.
That's what it's about. Your heart, man, is what's real. Regardless of all the Play-Doh that goes on, if you choose to be good and you look for the good in people and you do things without a motive and you're not expecting, you're serving a purpose greater than yourself. And that right there helps make the world a better place. And that's good stuff.
Ripple effect. Yes.
There is a ripple effect, just like doing bad. But
yep, it's true.
Nature, between everything coming into play, I can tell that it's God's plan for me to do this trail. And then when I get up north again, I want to summit Mount Olympia. And I tell you what, man, if you up there up north, I want to meet you in person. I think
well, if I'm around, I would love to meet you.
hang on, Kate. I think he was talking to me. Were you talking to me or were you talking to Kate?
I want to meet you. Literally. I think it'd be worth hiking 2,600 miles to meet you. I mean, hell, for the reason I'm walking.
Well, you know, we all go a little Forrest Gump for our own personal reasons.
Man, people tell me I talk like Forrest Gump. Y'all think so?
A little bit.
I always see people are like, why did you start hiking? And I'm like, I kind of went a little female Forrest Gump, only I'd like to think a tiny bit smarter, but you know, like my kid was gone and I didn't know what to do with myself.
Well, I think his IQ is 75, and what'd you just give me, a 69? Hey, y'all want to hear something that sounds like Forrest Gump? Y'all listen to this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Mama always said life was like a chocolate. Didn't that sound like it?
Swamper, you better be careful. Your trail name might be Forrest.
That was like...
No.
Oh, man, yeah, you better be careful.
I like Swamper, man. I do.
Well, you can get additions. Additions happen to trail names. You better be careful.
I know.
Luckily my name's too difficult. People have tried to add names to my trail name, but it's too hard to make it work.
Yeah.
Not complaining.
Feather, I want to thank you for dropping in and joining us, making this a special episode for me and for Swamper. This has been great.
Awesome.
It was.
And before you go, you have to tell us how our favorite hiking goat is. How's Little Leaf?
She's doing good, but she was starving. So instead of sitting behind me like she'd normally be, she's grubbing right now out in my Jeep, just mowing down. I was watching a friend's concert a little earlier tonight. So she was hungry. It was dinner time. She's doing good, though. Health-wise, like everything's passed. She's in the clear. I think I freaked some people out today because I was like mass flooding or her Instagram by catching it up. What do they call that? Photo dumping. Might be doing something with Pepsi. So I know there'll be a flood of people to her page. So I needed to catch it up really quick. And everything was going on my Facebook. And I think people thought she was sick again. So I'm like, no. Turn off. I don't know why it's doing that. Anyway.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you very much. Take care, Little Leaf. We'll look for updates.
All right. Sounds good. Y'all have a great, great fun time talking on here. I know it'll be entertaining. I can't wait to see it. You too, darling. Have fun.
You too.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Kate. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. I hope that was okay, Swamper, that I invited her to come on the episode with us.
Man, it was. It was just great. She's kind of like my inspiration, man. I mean, I subscribe to her. I comment on there. But, you know, I can't. It's hard to really just tell somebody how grateful you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, man, I'm really grateful for that girl. She helped heal a stranger without even knowing, man.
And you know, you had a similar impact on others out there, that little girl out there. So that's full circle. That's awesome.
It is. And you know, I want to say this through Instagram and all, man, I met you. And have you ever heard of a Second Chance?
Second Chance, I believe so.
He hiked the PCT and he was trying to lose weight. He was a little obese.
Second Chance hiker. Yeah, he was a guest on the podcast. Yes, I've talked to him.
He's an inspiration to me. Yes, and backpacking in the Pacific Northwest, man. I love all their pictures and stuff. And I just wanted to throw them out there.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. All right. Hey, Swamper, you know where we are?
Or
Pro Tip Insight of the Week.
Yes, we're at the Pro Tip Insight of the Week. This is your opportunity to share some outdoor adventure wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. So what bit of advice do you have for our listeners?
Don't drink moonshine while you go hiking. Always be aware of your surroundings. Always expect the unexpected. I always think of the what if and prepare for them.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
All right. No advice about skinny dipping?
Do it during the daytime. And don't drink moonshine before you do it, you know. I know it take off the edge, but sometimes, man, when you in that swamp, you got to think clear, even if you're naked. But
especially
it's trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that can be embarrassing.
Words to live by.
But be proud of who you are, where you're from. Take in what comes natural, man. Okay. Observe your surroundings and get out there, man. The only thing, I'm not a smart man, but I tell you what, there's two things in this world that you gotta know. You gotta know the difference between what's real and what's bullshit. And there's people with college education that ain't got that figured out. Just know what's real and know what's played, oh my.
All right. You said two things. Was that the first thing or is that both of them right there?
That's both of them.
Okay.
Both
All
of
right.
them. Yeah.
Got it. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Swamper. I want to thank him for joining us this week. Swamper, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Swamper9, and I haven't started my YouTube channel yet. I'm going to wait right before that I go on my adventure, and it's going to be under Phil Tucker. And I'm going to make sure, since there's children watching it, I'm going to make sure, man, that it's suitable. I want to do some kind of body cam or GoPro. That way I can show my struggles. It's going to be raw. It's not going to be too edited. But it's going to be for all audience, all walk of life. But Phil Tucker, Swamper 9, that's me.
All right. Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
Hey, Swamper, I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book or a movie or a documentary, a website, maybe a YouTube channel to help keep our listeners connected to the outdoors. We're calling this our Adventure Media Recommendation. What do you suggest for the folks out there?
Wild, Call of the Wild, Into the Wild, 50 Shades of Grey. No, I don't watch too much TV, but I like National Geographic, the Discovery Channel, the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as movies, I like things that are based on true stories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get into Superman, all that, you know. I don't know.
Okay, what's a better watch for our friends out there? Is it Swamp People or is it the Kate Cloud YouTube channel?
The Kate Cloud YouTube channel, because I think hers is less choreographed. Man, they be saying, man, they caught a dang 13-foot gator, man. A 13-foot gator, you need a winch to get that son of a gun in the boat, son. I'm going to tell you, I got one, man, that was 13.6, man. That son of a gun, boy, 22 inches, man, from jaw to jaw. And they sitting there, man, they making it. They making it all just, man, you know what? First off, that son gun ain't 13 inches, man. He ain't but like 3 inches across his eyeballs. And then when they pull him up, you know how he'd show that gator, man, just going all crazy? You ease that line up. And when that son gun surfaces, you got it. But it's choreographed, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think Kate's is that choreographed.
Hey, Phil, do me a favor. Hold up both hands in front of the camera here. Let me see. Do you have all your fingers?
Yeah, I got it. One.
You got all the fingers. Okay.
There's 10 there.
All right. Hey.
Five toes.
Yeah, that's right. Only 5 toes. All right. Hey, on to our last segment.
What have we not asked you?
It's called What Have We Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What other stories do you have out there you want to share with us?
I don't know, man. What do y'all, you want to hear about a bear encounter I had up north?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm on I-90, man. I'm headed to Seattle, man, because I want to go in the Space Needle. And I'm in between Missoula and Kellogg. And I pull off, man, and you know, it's winter time. And I got all my food in bed, the pickup truck, using it for a refrigerator. So I pull, man, I find me a nice little scenic place off of 90. And I'm laying there. And all of a sudden, man, you know, it's bouncing up and down. Man, I look, man, he's down brown bear, man, bed of my pickup truck. I'm talking about he's standing on the back of his legs and his front's over. And, man, he's eating my darn food, man, you know. And then I'm sitting there, oh, my God, what do I do? Man, I'm thinking, man, these son of a gun's supposed to be in hibernation, man. It's like 30 below outside. And then I hear, and man, I look out that side one of mine, and I'm telling you, his head was that big around. And I'm like, man, what do I do? You know, I've seen bear on TV and in zoos and stuff, but these was out in the wild, and they were brown. You know, I mean, good gracious. I've seen black bear, man, but grizzly. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what do I do, man? Because I ain't, you know, your windshield window ain't but about that thick, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just waking up. So I turned the truck on and honked the horn. And they walk off. They don't run off. They just walk off and look at me, man. And, dude, they ate all my dang snack case, man. You know, but I let them have it. But that was my bear encounter right there. I'm scared about now mountain lion. I am not scared of a cat, son. I had a mountain lion for 12 years. I want a snow leopard, man. That is my dream cat. But I can handle cats. But bear, I'm a little nervous. I've been Googling on it a little bit. I'm definitely gonna add my 30 pounds, man, with some bear spray.
What a way to wake up in the morning.
Oh, my God. That's my only bear encounter.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, that is a wrap from the John Freaking Muir Studio. Any shout-outs to friends and family, Phil?
Yeah, man. I want to say hey to my town. I want to say hey to my family. And I want to say hey, man, to my buddy David. Man, he's been my friend since first grade. So he knows me pretty good. And he's helping me train and stuff. And it's just for all y'all men out there that support me, man, you know, and all y'all listeners out there. I tip my hat to you, and I thank y'all.
Okay. You make sure the whole town listens to this episode, all right?
Oh, I will, man. Even the ones that ain't got internet connected, man.
All right.
We're in the state down here.
Yes. All right. Thank you for tuning in. Always remember, the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you've been skinny dipping in Bocahoma Creek and you're about to break your neck. The trail is the trail. Embrace trail. Suck.
All right.